Hi everybody, today we're reading Habakkuk chapter 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men, whose own might is their God. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil, and cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury, and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? Today, we're starting the book of Habakkuk. It's only 3 chapters long, and right after the book we just finished, Nahum. Let me provide a quick background for this book of Habakkuk. The time is around 600 BC. Over a century after the northern kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrians, and a few years before the Chaldeans, aka the Babylonians, take power and conquer the southern kingdom of Judah in 586 BC. Habakkuk is a prophet during this time, and there are no references to him besides what we find here in this book. If you look at the headings, you can quickly understand what's going on in this chapter. There is Habakkuk's complaint, in verses 2 to 4, the Lord's answer in verses 5 to 11, and then Habakkuk's second complaint from verses 12 to 17. Habakkuk's first complaint from verses 2 to 4 is basically, "Why, God, are you not doing anything to the wicked in Israel?" These verses are very personal, and you can almost feel Habakkuk's indignation with his questions like, "O Lord, how long shall I cry out for help, and you will not hear me? And why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong?" He's not just bothered that there is wickedness and violence around him, but he's also bothered that God doesn't seem to be doing anything. He says, "Justice never goes forth, and justice is perverted." What is God's response that actually leads Habakkuk to complain a second time? God's response is, "Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own." And he goes into detail about how dreadful, violent, and unstoppable the Chaldeans are. God says he will use these wicked Chaldeans to bring justice to the wicked in Israel. Now, Habakkuk doesn't like this at all. And he asks another series of questions in his second complaint. He says something to the effect of, "Okay, I hear that you have chosen the Chaldeans as your tool of judgment and reproof, but why them? They're even more wicked than the wicked I was originally talking about." Habakkuk appeals to God's righteousness and says he doesn't understand how this could be God's plan. He compares the Chaldeans to a fisherman that catches fish with his net and then proceeds to worship the net. And he questions why God would use them as they are so wicked. We can draw out a lot of interpretations and applications for our own lives from this passage. To keep this devotional simple, I'd like us to think about how God answers our prayers in His ways, not ours. God answers our prayers in His ways, not ours. Habakkuk prays to God through complaining, "Why are you not doing anything to the wicked in Israel?" And God's response is so much different than what he expects or wants. I'm struck by the phrase, "Wonder and be astounded." God's plans are so much higher than ours. His judgments, his decisions are so much better than ours. Everything is under his control, so he can even use people who refuse to acknowledge him as part of his master plan. What does this mean for us? I think this means that when we pray and don't see God responding exactly how we asked for, we can still know that 1, he heard us, and 2, he may be answering our prayers in an even greater way that we just can't understand yet. I was reminded of a season where I experienced this. It was a few years after college in Philly, and I was serving in a family group at a campus that was a new campus to our church, that our church was reaching out to. We started off with 5 or so people who came out to Sunday services a few times the previous year, so the goal was to start a family group and hopefully share Jesus with even more people on that campus. That was the goal. My fellow co-servants and I prayed regularly for God to work on this campus. We did prayer walks, and we prayed for people by name each week. And despite our best efforts, long story short, we didn't see much fruit at all that year. In fact, it was pretty disappointing because many weeks for our Bible study, it was just me, my 2 co-servants, and a sister from a different nearby campus meeting in one of the classrooms. Looking back now, I think this was a way that God was responding to our prayers in His ways, not ours. I can't say that years later, all the people that we reached out to let me know that now they were on fire for God. But I can say that I've seen a couple of the people later on living for God in various ways, like going on mission trips and sending me support letters. And also, that was a very formative time for me and my co-servants to learn how to be persistent in prayer. I'm not sure how we would have learned that in any other scenario. And I'm sure if you look back at your life, you could also identify times where God was responding to your prayers in His ways, which are higher than ours. So let's keep going to God in prayer. Let's keep asking Him in prayer, knowing that He hears and that He will respond. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this book of Habakkuk that we could read. And Lord, I thank you that you hear our prayers, God. And even though your responses are not always what we want to hear, God, still they are always much better than we could, than the solutions or ways that we could think of. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep going back to you. God, help us to see in faith how you are responding. And even as we think back in our lives, God, that you would bring to light ways that you responded when we thought you didn't, or you responded in a much greater way than we could have expected at that time. So Lord, won't you guide us by your Holy Spirit, lead us to your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.